Good morning, friends. It's Friday with Jim here at Coast Community Radio, and I'm your host, Jim Wilkins. Ably assisted by engineer par excellence, Terry Wilson. Terry, thank you so very much. And this show is produced by Kathleen Morgain. And the actual concept of this show was developed by Lisa Smith many years ago. Happy to have with us in the studio today a couple of folks from across the river. I got Mark Howie, who's the sheriff in Wakayakum County, and Shannon Gildia, who is with the Chamber of Commerce in the same neighborhood. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
I'd like to start out with a little bit of a biographical sketch of each of you separately, and then we'll go from there. So, Mark, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you end up where you are?
Sure. Well, I've been in law enforcement about 25 years now. Prior to that, prior to coming to Wakayakum, I was with Tukwila Police Department for 20 years. Hmm. And I left the Tukwila Police Department as a major crime sergeant and was asked to be the undersheriff to John Dearmore back in 2011. I grew up in Boise, Idaho, and Denver and Spokane, so I've been from rural areas in the Northwest, basically. And prior to coming to Wakayakum, my mom moved here in Cathlamet area, so I got to know John Dearmore about 2006 or seven, and we became pretty good friends. And every time I'd come to visit, we'd talk about all kinds of things, and law enforcement was one of them. So when he was elected sheriff, he then called me and asked if I'd come down and be his undersheriff. And I gladly accepted. My wife and I moved down here, and we left the SeaTac area where our children live, and some grandsons came down, and that's how I got into this position, was through John Dearmore.
Yeah, thank you. Shannon, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a glorified Air Force brat, so I've lived all over the world, and predominantly in the Northwest, where I think it's very beautiful, and went to high school up in the Gig Harbor area, did my bachelor's at George Fox University in Newburg, Oregon, and then moved to Texas to take on a master's degree during 2009 when the job market was not exactly conducive to a new graduate. So I ended up getting my master's down in Texas at Texas State University. Worked a few jobs, worked professionally there running a human resources department for a while, and had some experience in high school working in chambers, worked at the Gig Harbor Chamber of Commerce as a high school intern, and then in college down in Newburg, I worked at the Chehalem Valley Chamber of Commerce as an intern for them as well. So got a great understanding of how chambers work, how they really benefit communities, and wanted to kind of move to a small community where I could make a difference, and moved out to Wakayakum about a year ago, and the job became available recently, and I graciously accepted, and I'm so excited to bring forth what I have learned professionally through the years and educationally through the years to a wonderful community.
So you're based out of Cathlamet?
Yes, that's where our headquarters are. We do serve the entire county, but a predominant amount of businesses are located in the county seat, which is Cathlamet. So that's where we have our visitor center, and that's where we work.
Well, Mark Howie, let's talk a little bit about being a sheriff. How does that job work for you?
I love it. Being a sheriff is something I actually envisioned when I was about 9 or 10 years old. I'd saved my allowance for several months and was able to go down to the Grand Central General Store in Boise, Idaho, and I bought a box of sheriff kind of paraphernalia, including an old suede leather vest and a cowboy hat and 2 6 shooters and a belt and a plastic badge. And it felt right. And I think somewhere in the back of my mind, I was always destined to be a sheriff somewhere. So that's what I ended up being.
So you're sheriff of Wakayakum County. What kind of challenges do you face there? It's pretty much a rural area, as I understand it.
It is rural. Policing everywhere is very similar, but what becomes different when you go from a city type of police department to a rural culture is the fact that you know pretty much everybody in the county or somebody through them. And so what becomes challenging is balancing true law enforcement you know, and providing all those services, public safety services, to a rural county, but also knowing that a good portion of the folks that we end up having to write tickets to or arrest are people we know, could be neighbors, could be cousins of neighbors, or related to people even in the sheriff's office itself. So that becomes challenging, but we still have a job to do. And so we have a very good group of people at the Ukiah County Sheriff's Office that do a job very well even through those challenges.
Now, one of the things that we've been reading a lot about lately in rural areas is the drug problem, particularly methamphetamine. Do you run into that kind of stuff over there?
We do. We're not any higher level of drug arrests than we have been in the recent past. I also see in the general area of Cowlitz County and Wakayakum a small increase, at least in our county, of heroin use. I think that's kind of regionally anyway, because of the price of heroin has become so low. And so we don't have any more share of a drug problem than the next rural county as far as per capita. Our arrests are pretty low when it comes to drug possession in our county. But you do have pockets in the rural areas where people can kind of hide and lay low. Mm-hmm. But we don't see a lot of what we see is the indirect consequences, thefts and that type of thing that come from drug use.
Now, state of Washington recently pretty much kind of legalized marijuana, as I understand it.
That's correct.
How does that affect the way you go about your work?
You know, the biggest effect that it's had on us is the number of people that are driving under the influence. We don't have a very good system in place yet where we can adequately test a driver if they're driving under the influence. We may be able to test them for field sobriety, for alcohol use, mm-hmm. but there is an increase in not only violations, driving violations, but accidents that have come from marijuana use. So that's where we see an increase.
How do you know that? If you come upon an accident, how do you know that marijuana or some other drug is involved?
A lot of times they'll tell us.
Oh.
Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of folks, it's not really prevalent yet in the general public, the awareness around how affected a person can be driving under the influence. And so they'll just tell us because they know drinking and driving, you know, is illegal at a certain level. But it's really not a prevalent thing yet educationally for folks to know that even a small amount of marijuana use can really affect their driving. So they'll just tell us.
Yeah. How many people are in your department?
I've got, we're going to be hiring a sixth deputy this year, and I've got a chief civil deputy, and then I've got dispatchers and corrections officers for a total of 18, and that includes a Department of Emergency Manager as well.
I'm wondering, so are you able to have somebody in the field all the time, or are there occasions where there's nobody available?
There's occasions where nobody's on duty. Mm-hmm. We're on call pretty much. Well, we're on call 24 hours a day. If it's a serious enough incident that might be happening at 3:00 in the morning, when we may not have a deputy on duty, they'll call right down the line until they find a deputy that's available. Or myself, or the undersheriff as well.
you're the backup.
Absolutely, backup. Yes.
What kind of serious incidents or serious problems have you run into over the years in Wakayakum County?
Well, I believe, you know, serious incidents can involve anything from domestic violence, mm-hmm. Assaults, to sexual assaults, crimes against children, that type of thing. There really hasn't been a huge increase. There's been peaks in certain years that I've been here for assaults and domestic violence and sexual assaults on children as well. But it's not a major issue per se over the years. It's just been peaks and valleys. Now, what I have seen a consistent increase in is mental health issues. We, in our calls for service on mental health issues with folks have quadrupled since 2007. When I looked back at the statistics, we went to 11 mental health calls, and that includes everything from somebody just acting very bizarrely because they're off their meds to attempted suicide. So it runs the gamut, but it's a mental health call. 11 in 2007 to 47 in 2013. Excuse me. So it's more than quadrupled. And this is not just unique to Wakayama County. This is across the nation.
What do you think is driving that?
I can tell you that there's a number of factors. It involves lack of services for mental health, people with mental health issues, all the way to more drug use. And we're finding folks that have what they call dual diagnosis, which means they may have or may not have had mental health issues or crisis prior to their drug use. But now after prolonged drug use, and I can't tell you exactly what drugs, but it seems to be a lot of them have increased their issues by prolonged use of drugs, even if they've stopped those drugs. So we're seeing that, and we're seeing that as well in combination with working with our mental health counselors and folks there in Wakayama County.
Do you have any kind of program that you've set up to work with the schools as far as drug education and awareness kind of stuff?
We don't have a specific program, and DARE is really obsolete lead at this point. We also don't have a person that's actually at the schools all the time, like a school resource officer. I do have a deputy in the afternoons and the mornings at times who is the liaison deputy, and he goes to the schools and he's building a rapport with both the teachers and the staff and the students and parents, and he's worked with seniors on different projects. And so we do have somebody plugged in, so to speak, at the schools. And we're such a small enough county and school district that pretty much all our staff knows all of us individually anyway, the deputies that are working there. So we stay in touch in that way, and we'll attend different functions and different senior functions and rallies and that type of thing. But we don't have a program per se. Our drug problems at the school are not prevalent in any way. There's a huge increase in marijuana use by kids and students, but that's being addressed in other ways as well with school staff.
What other ways does school staff deal with that?
They have a grant-funded position. I don't know if it's full-time or part-time, but she is kind of the student drug and alcohol prevention person. She's not necessarily a certified counselor, but I forget the name of the position. But she's there all the time to be there for the kids, and also provide different resources and also attend their classes as well to bring those kinds of awarenesses to them. And on occasion we work with them, and she's also a part of our Wakayama Community Network, which I'm also involved in as well. And that network is geared towards healthy families and without the use of drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, that was kind of where I was heading next, is what other programs or social services are available to you. For example, you run into a domestic assault problem,
right,
that you need to refer to some kind of an agency. What's available to you?
We have the Charlotte House, and this program has been very, very successful, working very closely with the sheriff's office. In fact, John Dearmore, the previous sheriff, was a key person that brought this group together. So we have at our disposal at any time during the day or night, a deputy can call up and get a call out person for a domestic violence victim advocate. Mm-hmm. They can provide emergency shelter and so forth. And it's been very, very successful, and yearly trainings. And we also have a STOP grant, which is geared towards domestic violence education and training for the sheriff's office, prosecutor's mm-hmm. office, and courts, so forth.
Well, it's time to remind our listeners that it's Friday here at Coast Community Radio, and we're visiting with Mark Howie and Shannon Gildea, who we're going to be speaking with next, both from Wakayama County. Shannon, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I'm relatively new to the chamber. I was hired about a month ago, but I do have chamber experience, so I'm looking forward to using what I've learned. But we, as at the Wekiakum Chamber of Commerce, our purpose is to support local business. I mean, that's what small communities are all about, local business that keeps the community active and going. We also, hold ribbon cuttings, business events, things in that regard, to kind of support businesses and to encourage them to grow in our community. We manage, plan, and produce events for our community. We have one coming up called the Crab and Oyster Feed, which is our 30th annual fundraising event. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later.
And that would be in Kathlamet?
That is actually on Puget Island, which is part of Kathlamet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
At Norse Hall. It's the 30th annual event. And I guess it's a wild time, crab and oysters and all sorts of food. And we have three seating times. That's how popular this event is. So we have three times that people can come, purchase tickets, and kind of eat with their friends and have a great time. And that's coming up here on March 14th. Also, the chamber is responsible for, encouraging local businesses to stay in business. As I said, communities are based upon small business. And if small businesses are closing, communities kind of slowly start to die, too. So as the chamber's responsibility to keep those businesses, active and going, that's also one of the burdens that we take on and that we are excited to take on.
I'm curious, what's the population of Wekiakum County?
Oh, man, stumped me. I think it's about 4,000. Thanks, Mark. about 4,000 people. So again, it's a very small community, and that's one of the reasons why I chose to move there, is that everyone generally knows each other or knows someone through someone, and it's a wonderful experience to walk around town and to see people you know, or your neighbors, or people that you go to church with, and people genuinely care about you, and they ask you how you're doing, and they have time to stop and listen to how you're doing. And at times that can be great, and at times that can be, frustrating for someone like me from out of town who's not used to the slow, casual pace. Getting stuck in line behind people that are, talking about family and friends for a while is really charming, but it's been something that I've kind of had to get used to moving out there. But it's great. You see people in passing all the time that you know, and so you can have continued conversations and continued relationships with people that, you don't see them once every few months. You see them once every week, because that's how close-knit the community is. But the chamber is also responsible for marketing the county as a whole. We want people to stop in Wekiakum. We want people to visit our bed and breakfast, to eat at our restaurants, to visit our parks, to view all of our birds and animals that are in the community. And it really is a beautiful drive, and not many people know about it. I know friends who live in Portland who go to the coast, and they always just take the highway in Oregon. And I always encourage them, just drive to Longview really quick, and then, take State Route 4 and go that way, because it really is a beautiful route to get to Astoria and to get to the coast.
Yeah, Kathlamet is really a kind of a cool little town.
It is very cool. It was, built a long time ago as a river access only town. So we have a big marina, we have a lot of boat access, and it's really beautiful from the river, and not a lot of people get that view unless they can get on a boat or they can see it from a boat's perspective. But, the town was really built up onto a beautiful hill, and a lot of the old buildings are still there, and the downtown is all very historic, old downtown buildings with the old dates of when they were constructed, and it's really a charming place, and not a lot of people know about it, especially here in Astoria. Not a lot of people know about it, and it's only a 45-hour drive, and we want to encourage local people to come visit, and so that's what really the chamber is responsible to do, is to really market the beauty that we have. But yeah, that's really what the purpose of the chamber is. That's what we do, and I'm really looking forward to this year to take on all that responsibility.
Now, what's the status of the ferry that goes from Westport, Oregon, over to Puget Island, and then by bridge to Kathlamet?
Yeah. Now that's,
aren't they building a new one?
They are building a new one. From what I understand, the county's taken this on, and so I can't speak directly for the county, but just in a couple of meetings I've been to, the ferry has been constructed. It has been christened up on Whidbey Island in Freeland. That's where it was built. And it'll be coming down to Kathlamet very soon. I think they're expecting it next month sometime. But it is much larger, and it's state-of-the-art. It's beautiful, and it's going to really change the amount of traffic that can come across that ferry. It's a lot bigger, and it'll accommodate a lot more cars.
Has that anticipating the new larger ferry, has that resulted in having to rebuild the docking structures and then?
Yes, I think that's something that they are still working on, is accommodating, you know, the ramps and the and the pilings. I think that's also a consideration. You know, that's a lot wider of a ferry, so to fit into its little parking spot, a lot of the pilings have to have been moved and stretched out. So it's been a big process. From what I can recall from meetings, the ferry kind of was initiated back in 2002, this new ferry, and so it's taken a while to really get it up and running, but I know the county is very excited to have that come soon, and I have a feeling they'll be planning an event to kind of welcome it to the community once it's down here.
I might add that it's scheduled to arrive and land in Wacaicum County February 27th.
Oh, perfect. Oh. Thank you.
So that's going to make quite a change, you think?
Yes, I think so. I think it's such a cool thing, too. A lot of people, you know, people that are more familiar with ferries think, you know, the Seattle ferries or, you know, the larger scale ferries that, you know, carry tons and tons of cars. And it's really kind of fun to be on one that's, you know, open air and to kind of see it go down the river like that is really impressive. So
a lot of talk about business development. And I'm wondering, how do you, as the chamber, as an organization, foster economic development?
That's a great question, Jim. From what I understand, at the end of 2010, the Economic Development Council for Wacaicum County merged with the chamber, and the chamber took on those responsibilities. And in encouraging business growth through a chamber style encouragement, we also handle things economic developmently. And in doing that, we work with the Small Business Development Council and the Small Business Administration to help folks learn about how to create new businesses, how to apply to business licenses, how to obtain business loans. And I work with my liaison in Longview to kind of connect and provide resources to people that want to create a business, but they don't know where to start. And so we work as a resource for that. I also work with the Cowlitz Wacaicum Council of Governments, which is an organization that kind of pieces together businesses and organizations in Cowlitz County and Wacaicum County. And we also work with WorkSource to create events and programs to kind of encourage employment opportunities and to encourage business relationships between the counties. And I think that kind of fosters a great way for businesses to kind of connect together, to work business-to-business style. I mean, there's a lot of businesses that do similar work and kind of compare together. And as the chamber, my responsibility is to kind of make those connections for businesses.
I wonder if you can give me an example of a connection like that that you've made.
Well, I'm relatively new. Again, I've only worked for a month, so I don't have one personally that I've done yet. But I have had calls recently of people that are looking to purchase businesses in the county, people that have called me and asked questions about obtaining loans for starting businesses. And that's really exciting news for Wacaicum County and for the chamber, is that, you know, when we get calls from people asking for help, how to start a business and how to grow their business, that really encourages the growth for the community as a whole. And I welcome those phone calls, but right now I don't have a specific example for you because I am still very new to the position.
Hey, Mark, we've got a caller that called in with a question here that I'm trying to make sense of. What kind of regulations can be enforced, for example, boating behavior, drunken boating, drinking, squirrely behavior, and that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, we really don't get any calls about that kind of behavior on the river. The river is a lot different than what you would think of a normal recreational boating type of atmosphere or place. We've got heavy shipping going on there. We don't have a lot of activity that goes out there and just relaxes and hangs out on their boat. We've got a strong current. The most activity we get is really during the fishing seasons. Okay. and they're serious fishermen. They don't go out just to float around and act obnoxious. So we don't get general calls like that. Oh. The most calls we get is to go out and rescue people that are high centered on sandbars, or they're motoring and they're just floating down the river, or a man overboard. The last 6-7 calls that we've made has been to go and rescue boaters or sailors that way.
So you have your own boat?
Yes, we do. Yeah. It's a little guy. It's about 21 foot, yeah. And it you know, it's aluminum boat that just gets the job done for what we need right now.
Well, Shannon, we've got a few minutes left here, and I wonder if you've got any last minute kind of stuff you want to talk about.
Sure, yeah. Beyond just membership and encouraging businesses, I want to touch on the events that Wakayakum Chamber of Commerce is responsible for. And there really are some really fun events that go on in Wakayakum County. I've already mentioned our Crab and Oyster Feed, which is coming up very soon. But we also have a Salmon Derby that goes on in April. All the funds from that go towards a high school scholarship, so we're really repaying back our youth that way.
Salmon Derby, how does that work?
Yeah, I will tell you when I find out. No, I'm just kidding. We encourage people to buy tickets, and it's a two-day event, and we have people come out and fish during salmon time, and we weigh the fish, and the biggest, I think, male catch gets a prize, and the biggest female catch wins a prize, too. But it's all ticket-driven, and we'll also hopefully have some vendors this year. But our big event is the Bald Eagle Days Festival, and I know we're running out of time, so I'll try to give you a little bit about that. But it's a huge parade and a huge downtown festival. We actually have fireworks and live music, and it's a really wonderful time for people in Wakayakum County and also surrounding counties to come out and just have fun in the summertime. And all this information for our events can be found on our website, which is wakayakumchamber.com. We also have a wooden boat show, a chili cook-off, a Christmas tree lighting. I mean, we have a ton of events every year that are a really great way for our community to get together, but also for people in surrounding communities like Astoria and Longview to come out and support us and really see how small communities have a great time and welcome visitors from other towns. So.
Well, it's a fun drive to go up there and take the ferry across.
Yeah.
And we've done it ourselves.
Yeah.
Now, Sheriff Mark Howie, we've got just about a minute left. Do you got any final thoughts that we could leave with our listeners?
Well, just as Shannon was saying, it's a wonderful county and wonderful people there. It's it is a great place to go and visit and to live. Got a wonderful chamber, a wonderful sheriff's office, and a good commissioners that run the government there. I would just say when you come to town, be safe, and thank you for having us.
How many commissioners are there?
There are three commissioners.
Okay, and they're elected?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Well, that about wraps us up here, Terry. I think for this Friday show, we've been visiting with Sheriff Mark Howie, who's the sheriff of Wakayakum County, and Shannon Gildea, who's runs the Chamber of Commerce over there. And I'd like to thank you both for taking the time to come over and visit with us.
Absolutely.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And I'd also urge our listeners, Terry, to stick around, because coming up, the always wonderful Friday Folk Show with Albert Smith. So until next time, thanks for being with us. Goodbye.